Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. So here's a story that properly unsettled me this week. A journalist in China asked DeepSeek to write a biography in classical Chinese style. Nothing unusual about that. The model delivered prose that was elegant, grammatically flawless, and almost entirely made up. The birthplace? Wrong. The mother's surname? Invented. 70 years of lived experience rewritten with absolute confidence. And here's the thing. This was not a bug. This was the model doing exactly what it was designed to do, predict text that sounds plausible. Large language models are not knowledge databases, they are next token predictors. When they encounter information they have not seen in training, they do not say, "I do not know." They guess the most likely answer and deliver it like it's fact. The training objective was never be correct, it was predict the next token. Now, this is not new information. We have known about hallucinations since the first GPT models. What's changed this week is that AI hallucination is now a legal liability. China's Supreme People's Court formally documented the country's first AI hallucination fraud case. Someone bought a product based on an AI recommendation for a fake brand. They lost 800 RMB. And then researchers showed they could poison a language model into endorsing a completely fictional brand in just 2 hours of feeding it false information online. 2 hours. This is not a consumer-grade model problem anymore. This is weaponized. And the scary part? There is no fix on the horizon. The problem is structural. You cannot patch your way out of how the architecture works. Asking an LLM to verify facts is asking it to do something it was never designed for. It's like asking a calculator to taste your soup. Wrong tool, wrong job. So what does this mean for businesses using AI in production? Well, SAP has some thoughts on that. They published a piece this week arguing that the difference between 90% and 100% accuracy is not incremental, it's existential. If you are using AI to manage financial systems or supply chains, one hallucination can corrupt everything downstream. Their answer? Enterprise AI requires deterministic control, agent lifecycle management, strict autonomy boundaries. You cannot let an AI make decisions without guardrails, and those guardrails need to be baked in from the start, not bolted on after something goes wrong. The takeaway here? If you are building AI into business-critical systems, you need to treat hallucination as a feature, not a bug. Design around it. Assume it will happen, because it will. Have a think about where your own systems might be vulnerable, because if an AI is making recommendations to customers, writing reports, or touching anything financial, you are one bad output away from a very expensive problem. Completely different story now, but it connects. Kimi K 2.6, an open-weights Chinese model, just beat Claude, GPT-4.5, and Gemini in a programming challenge. Now, I am not here to declare a winner in the model wars. What matters is that coding benchmarks are becoming the real arena for model comparison. And open-source alternatives are closing the gap on proprietary systems faster than anyone expected. This is not just about bragging rights. If open models can match or beat the big players on real tasks, the cost dynamics shift. The vendor lock-in dynamics shift, and suddenly, businesses have actual choices again. The question to ask yourself, are you building on a proprietary API because it is genuinely better, or because it felt safer 6 months ago? Because the landscape is moving fast, and what felt like the obvious choice then might not be the smart choice now. Right. So while we are talking about AI getting serious, let me tell you what the Pentagon just did. Microsoft, Amazon, OpenAI, Google, Nvidia, and SpaceX were granted access to Impact Level 6 and 7 classified networks to deploy AI for battlefield analysis. Impact Level 6 is classified military data. Impact Level 7 is the stuff that could cause exceptionally grave damage to national security if compromised. And now AI models are processing it. The military has already generated tens of millions of prompts on its Genie.mil platform. Some tasks that used to take months now take days. That is not hype. That is operational. But here's the bit that made me pause. The Pentagon is not just using AI for analysis. They are building an AI-first military, and they are doing it with private sector companies, which means the line between commercial AI development and military AI development is getting very, very blurry. Now, I am not here to debate the ethics of military AI. That is a much longer conversation. But I will say this. If the Pentagon is moving this fast, every other government and every large enterprise is watching and learning. The takeaway? AI governance is not optional anymore. Whether you are building for consumers, enterprises, or governments, the question is no longer should we use AI? It's how do we use it responsibly and who decides what responsible means? That is worth a conversation with your team this week. Okay, so let me lighten things up a bit. Researchers at Oxford just demonstrated a fourth-order quantum effect using a single trapped ion. They are calling it quad squeezing. Now, I will be honest, the physics here is beyond me, but here's why it matters. Quantum effects at this level were previously unreachable. The fact that they made it work with a single ion means it is experimentally accessible now, and that opens new possibilities for quantum sensing and measurement. Think more precise instruments, better clocks, and potentially new ways to detect things we could not detect before. The thing about quantum breakthroughs is they tend to feel abstract until they are not, and then suddenly they are everywhere. GPS only works because of quantum mechanics. MRI machines are quantum devices. This kind of foundational research is what makes the next generation of tools possible. So, yeah, keep an eye on this one. It might not sound exciting now, but in 5 years, something built on this work could be sitting in your phone. And finally, because I cannot resist a good data tool story, DuckDB Labs released DuckLake 1.0 this week. It is a data lake format that stores metadata in SQL rather than scattered across files. Now, I know that sounds incremental, but if you have ever worked with data lakes, you know the pain of trying to figure out what data you actually have, where it lives, and how it's organized. DuckLake solves that by putting the catalog metadata in SQL, which means you can query it like a database. They also built in improved partitioning, small update management, and Iceberg compatibility. So if you are already using Apache Iceberg, this slots right in. The reason this matters, data lakes are where most organizations store their raw data. If the tooling around them gets better, everything downstream gets easier. Better queries, faster insights, less time hunting for the right dataset. For anyone working with large datasets, this is worth checking out. It is the kind of unglamorous infrastructure improvement that saves you hours every week once it is in place. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. AI hallucination is not going away. The Pentagon is building an AI-first military. Open models are catching up to proprietary ones. Quantum is getting more accessible. And the boring infrastructure tools are quietly getting better. The thread running through everything today? The technology is moving faster than the governance, faster than the safeguards, and faster than most organizations are prepared for. If you are building with AI or leading a team that is, the questions you need to be asking are not just, what can we build, but what happens when this goes wrong and are we ready for it? Something to think about on the commute home. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.